Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Hour three headlines coming at you now. If you're missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, protected by 245 Tech. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course.
Please? Please?
Thanks, John.
Welcome.
You okay?
Yeah.
Someone step on your toe?
No.
Okay.
I'm fine.
All right. Zach Smith went off last night. I forgot about this headline music. Every time, usually I don't have the headphones on when I'm doing the headlines, and now I got the... Zach Smith, he went off on Twitter last night. Apparently, he's ready to write a book and do a podcast as he tries to explain this domestic violence situation, which he basically says is just all on his wife.
Yeah, the original idea with the Kanye tweets last segment was going to have Zach Smith tweets sprinkled into them, but as I was scouring the timeline, I realized just there was no joke there to be made with Zach Smith's tweets. Like, it wasn't like the other ones where he just seems like out of touch. Those made me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
As he like released a video of like a domestic abuse situation where, I mean, it did paint his wife in a really bad light, but it doesn't mean that Zach Smith hasn't done anything to her in the past. So like it was nothing to try to sprinkle into a comedic segment. That's why that Kanye, it didn't go the way it was supposed to but I caught an audible as I was scrolling the tweets trying to find some. I was like, you know what? We're not going to do that.
Not our best work.
It's okay. It was on me because you expected me to chime in with some Zach Smith ones, and I told Ben Lita we're pulling an audible there because actually going through his timeline, it wasn't the same, ha-ha, let's laugh at crazy Zach Smith. This one was a, man, like this situation is just awful for the kids. Like whenever you see the video that was released last night of a 4-year-old boy being drug into it on both sides, like it's no longer something, haha, let's laugh at Zach Smith. It's just, this is an awful situation.
He's going very public with all of this stuff.
Well, he says he has to. He says he has to because a local TV station had aired the video but edited it just to make Zach Smith look bad. So he's like, well, if you're going to do that and you're going to involve my kid, here's what actually happened, and showed the whole video, which I think Zach Smith has the right to do. Like, it's bad because it makes it even more of a national story, because obviously you, me, Ben Lee, anyone listening here wouldn't have seen the WKX or whatever the hell.
WSYX.
None of us would have seen that video, most likely, because we hadn't seen it before. We didn't see it until Zach Smith tweeted it out. But I think he has the right to try to protect himself in the court of public opinion if a TV station is going to get involved showing that.
Yeah, he just, he's saying things. He's retweeting people that say she's a psycho, and he's like, let's evaluate who is unstable. Zach Smith has not wavered this whole time from acting like he never really did any wrong. You know?
I did notice that, yeah, he seemed to have a lot more support responding to those videos.
I mean, who knows what we may end up eventually finding out about this, you know?
Either way, it's not going to be good for the kids.
No, certainly not.
Like, that's the thing, is like Zach Smith's career is probably going to be over, and the wife is probably not the epitome of stable. That doesn't mean that Zach Smith's right. That doesn't mean Zach Smith is exonerated by any means.
He says people need to know reality. He's tired of trying to be quiet about it and the media forcing his hand. Says he's writing a book and doing a podcast. The truth shall come. I think it would be good entertainment for the rest of us to consume.
No. I mean, that's kind of what I was just getting at. Like, to me, it's not entertainment anymore. Like, I
when I say entertainment, I mean it in the same way as watching, like, hurricane coverage. It's not a good situation, but we're going to be captivated by it.
I wouldn't listen to the podcast. Like, if he did a podcast talking about the situation, are you listening to it?
Yeah.
Because to me, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, it's, I don't care who's right and who's wrong in this situation anymore. It's just like whenever you actually see the kids, like it just kind of makes it seem a lot realer, which I know there was kids involved the whole time. But like at this point, it's just I want Zach Smith to kind of go away.
Well, we'll see. The Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver says he's 100% committed to keeping the team in its current home. There had been some talk, I guess, about moving away from Phoenix. Says he's not going to do that.
Yeah, he's been threatening them.
He put out a video message on Twitter one day after a Phoenix City Council vote to approve $230 million in renovations was postponed to next month.
He's trying to strong arm them. He's trying to strong arm them into giving him a new arena. That's what happens, though, man. Like, if you don't build an arena, you lose your team. That's what happened to the Chargers.
That's what's happening in Oakland, right?
Yeah. I want to say that's what happened to the Rams, too. You don't build a new stadium, you don't build a new arena. Like, that gives the team a chance to leave. I want to say that's even what happened in Seattle. They drug their feet on paying for the Supersonic Stadium or arena, and then they left and went to Oklahoma City. That's the thing is, like, if Phoenix doesn't build a new arena, you don't think Seattle, who's building one for the new hockey team, you don't think they're going to be like, hey, we want a basketball team back, come on? That's the thing with the NBA is, like, there are a couple of cities eagerly awaiting an opportunity to get in the business. The NFL, I don't know how many cities there are. In the NFL, I don't know how many cities there are lining up for a franchise. Like, London, yes. Do the Rams want one back? I mean, not the Rams, but does St. Louis want one back? Maybe. I know in the NBA that Seattle is desperate for a team. I know Las Vegas wants an NBA team. Sucks for the citizens of Phoenix to get strong-armed and maybe lose the Suns, but usually when there's smoke, there's fire. When these, you know, whenever these things start happening, it gets worse before it gets better. Like, Sacramento was able to save their team. They came very close to losing the Kings and were able to save their team. But Memphis has to deal with this. The Grizzlies have to deal with this of speculation of an owner moving them to a bigger market. The Grizzlies have had to deal with it. So the fans there are having to, you know, basically support the team through a rough year last year with the idea in the back of their mind, like, hey, this team could be gone soon if we let attendance slip. It's just business, I guess. It sucks for Phoenix, though.
I feel like Nashville could use an NBA team.
I mean, as long as the Grizzlies are in Memphis, no. But if the Grizzlies ever leave, then yes.
Well, maybe move the Grizzlies to Nashville.
I don't think Memphis would ever allow that to happen. But I think if the Grizzlies left, like I don't know if you'd kill your fan base. I feel like you would alienate. I don't know how Memphis would feel if all of a sudden the team's like, yeah, we're going to move 2 hours to the east. Would Memphis fans like just quit liking the team and quit supporting and you've alienated half the state?
Why could
or
there
not
half
the state, obviously a third of the state, but still.
Why could there not be a team in Memphis and a team in Nashville?
I just don't think Memphis's attendance is good enough. And I don't think
Well, that's a Memphis problem.
Well,
I think if you put a team in Nashville, that team would be a fan base built around that team.
Maybe. Maybe. Like the team would have to be good, but usually, like, you can't have two teams in one city unless the first team is, like, the supply and demand, like, is just so heavy for, you know, the demand is completely outweighing the supply, right? Like, where it's just sold out every night and there's a need for a second team. Like, the Lakers, like, they were able to accommodate the Lakers so well that they had the Clippers, too, type of thing.
Yeah. Which
and the city's so big. Like,
yeah,
I don't know
city.
Where Nashville ranks in the city. It just seems like
it's
Memphis.
Not big.
Seems like Memphis kind of needs Middle Tennessee to still like the Grizzlies for them to be successful, I guess is what it boils down to.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville is still, like, it's growing, but it's still only, what, like a third the size of Atlanta?
Is that true?
Or maybe about half of the size of Atlanta.
Is that true?
I think so.
Well, if that's the case, then, yeah, no chance because, like, Atlanta. Yeah.
Atlanta's got, what, like 5 million people?
I don't know.
I think Nashville's about a third, maybe half. Anyway, you know, moving along here. Carson Wentz has a fractured vertebrae. He doesn't need surgery, but he is facing a three-month recovery period for the stress fracture in his back, Doug Peterson said today. take him about 3 months to heal. Peterson, during a tense back and forth with the media, said it's an injury that has evolved over time, but it won't require surgery. He is questionable to travel with the team for Sunday's game against the Rams. Seems unlikely he'll play the rest of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Odell Beckham's out on Sunday.
Yeah. Officially?
Yep. Odell Beckham's out Sunday. I don't know if that's more of a headline or breaking news, but good break for the Titans.
Yeah. DJ Durkin, we talked about him yesterday being spotted down at Alabama. Apparently he's watching film with them now.
Yeah, let's talk about that next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Yeah.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's
back on the program. Weekend. Any issue with Friday. Alabama just taking DJ Durkin in with open arms? Hey, come help us out. Any issue?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to challenge Nick Saban.
Well,
I mean, the media, like...
DJ Durkin's not in any NCAA trouble, right? Mm-mm. I mean, he killed a kid.
Yeah. Sorta.
Sorta. Maryland felt bad enough about what he did that they fired him. But Maryland, you know, has to kind of protect themselves.
I mean, you know, when you kill someone, like, the next move is rehabilitation, right?
Yeah, maybe like if he'd have waited till the 2019 season and had some time to think about it and actually felt like he had served some type of punishment other than just getting fired and getting his buyout money, maybe it would have looked less bad optically. But, I mean, he got fired, what, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm. October.
Yeah. And here he is already popped up at Alabama. Credit to Alabama, I guess, for just having no shame.
Do you think Nick Saban is aware of the fact that he has a reputation for bringing in coaches who need to be rehabilitated for some reason or another?
Nick Saban is very, very smart. He's very aware of his surroundings. I don't buy that you can be as smart as you are and not hear outside noise. I think a part of being so smart is that you are aware of everything. It's like when these guys say, I don't pay attention to this and I don't pay attention to that, I think that's BS. Because I think to be as successful as they are and as smart as they are, they have all the information available. So, yes, I think Nick Saban is very aware that he is the island of misfit coaches.
You think Nick Saban starts his day with just a stack of articles on his desk all about him, and he just reads through them to see what they're about?
That's a good question. That I don't know.
That's what the president used to do before he became the president. I watched that documentary about him, and they said he would have a stack of things about him and just spend like the first hour of his day reading about himself.
I don't know how he consumes the outside noise, but he is aware of the outside noise.
So Saban probably wouldn't bring DJ Durkin in if it was an uncalculated move.
Yeah.
There's a reason he's bringing him in.
Yeah. Again, it's not like he's in NCAA trouble. He just got fired. Momentum is headed towards Kyler Murray maybe sort of kind of playing in the NFL. Starting to heat up. Of course, Kyler Murray was the number 9 overall pick in the 2018 MLB draft. They said, hey, go ahead and play football if you want. But according to Monday Morning Quarterbacks, Kalen Kyler, most people in the NFL are now under the impression that Murray's going to go to the NFL draft. Murray is among the underclassmen who have submitted their names to the College Advisory Committee, which provides feedback for players considering leaving school early, lets them get a grade, find out if they're a potential first-round pick, second-round pick, or neither. It's thought that Oklahoma only does those for players really expecting to go to the draft, because each school is only allowed to put five of these guys in, right? So it's not like you can take all junior and say, hey, give us a grade. You only get five per school. You have to decide which five are most likely to actually have an NFL future or most likely weighing that decision. You don't want to, Kyler Murray doesn't want to take a name away from a potential junior who actually could benefit from being graded, if that makes sense, right? Like, you don't waste this opportunity to be evaluated because you only get five of them.
What if Kyler Murray ends up going to the NFL? What does that mean with all of his baseball money?
He has to pay back the $4.5 million he got as a signing bonus. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
He just has to pay it back, which I'm sure he could sign one endorsement deal and cut them a check. And then he's lived best of both worlds. He's had $4.5 million in college, and then he gets to go be a first-round NFL quarterback. That's a pretty good, you know, pretty good setup. Like, hey, I got to be rich while in school. I got to be 20, 21, and rich around my peers. I got to be basically on an even playing field financially with my head coach.
But he's one of the top baseball prospects, right?
Yeah, but I mean, being a top baseball prospect is cool, but being an NFL quarterback is cooler.
But don't you stand to make more money in baseball?
If you're good, if you're good. I mean, baseball contracts are huge, right? I mean, like,
right.
10 years, $300 million is like the was the low offer from the Nationals for Bryce Harper. And I don't know if Kyler Murray's that good. He's not the number one overall prospect. He was just a top 10 pick, right? So it's not like he's thought of as like a generational baseball player.
NFL quarterback is a lot cooler, but is he would he be thought of as a – I mean, is he going to come in to the NFL and be a starter?
Well, that's what he's figuring out. Like, some people think he might be the best quarterback prospect in the draft if he comes out.
How tall is Kyler Murray?
He's like 5'10". He's not tall. Yeah, I know.
He's like a – so Russell Wilson, Drew Brees type.
Yeah, he's not tall. Wise, anyway. I mean, Baker Mayfield's 6 foot. So, I mean, like, there has been a little bit of a shift when you start looking at the height of a quarterback, how tall they need to be, especially in the NFL now where they're going more spread – you know, air raid type of feeling to it. I know they're not actually running air raids, but they're spreading out shotgun type of thing.
Seems risky to me. I mean, which I'd rather play football for sure, but I don't know.
I feel like if he does it, I feel like if the NFL doesn't work out, though, he could always go back and play baseball.
Yeah, you got to cash in on football while you can.
Yeah. I mean, but as fast as he is, he'll always have a place in baseball.
Yeah, you couldn't really do baseball and then decide you want to go play football. Like, if you're going to go to the NFL, you got to cash in now.
I just think it's way cooler to be an NFL quarterback than it is to be a baseball player. Like,
I agree with that.
I don't think anybody doubts that whenever you compare Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees to Mike Trout. Mike Trout is off to the best start of any baseball player in his career ever. And I would say Cody McClure could not pick Mike Trout out of a lineup if Mike Trout walked into a restaurant. If Mike Trout walked next to Cody, if Cody walked next to – if Cody picked up Mike Trout and gave him a ride and he got in his car and he just said Mike, Cody would not stop and think, wait, aren't you Mike Trout?
Nope. You're right.
If Tom Brady got in his car
– oh, my God, it's Tom Brady.
If Mike – I was going to say Mike Vick, but I was going with Baker Mayfield. I don't know where Mike came
Vick
up.
Mike Vick and his dog.
I don't know where Mike Vick came from, but Baker Mayfield got in your car. You know who Baker Mayfield is?
I would recognize every NFL quarterback that got in my car.
You might even recognize Nick Mullins. Maybe.
Nah, I don't think I would.
Okay.
Is he starting right now?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't think I would.
You'd recognize Jimmy G.
Yeah. I'd recognize, like, close to any quarterback that's been around a few years and, like, you know their faces. Baseball players? I don't know that there's a single baseball player I would recognize. Now, like, retired players, like if A-Rod or Derek Jeter got in there, I would know them.
I think you'd know if Aaron Judge got in just because Aaron Judge is like 6'6".
I don't think I would.
Maybe not, okay. But, I mean, like, that's – I know that money is one thing, but there is a part of, like
– fame.
Fame, yeah.
Yeah. NBA players, I'd recognize all the top NBA players, which, again, they're, you know, they're like – some of them are 7 feet tall, so
– yeah. But still, you recognize their face better, too.
Right, right. You see them more. Maybe it's because of the hats. Maybe that's baseball's problem.
No, because football players have helmets on.
Yeah, true.
It's just a baseball problem. Like, we always talk in baseball season how they don't market their stars. Like I said, Mike Trout is off to the best start of any baseball player ever. Like, he's already grading out to be one of the best ever, if not the best ever, and no one knows what he looks like. I mean, I do.
I might recognize Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper's a little bit more distinct with the beard, and he's out there a little bit more, sure.
I think I would recognize him.
But Bryce Harper's not as good as Mike Trout. Like, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball.
I would recognize Barry Bonds.
Sure.
Older players like Jeter, sure. A-Rod, guys sure. like that. But sure. nobody today, really. Pujols, I might recognize him. CC Sabathia, I recognize him. Yeah, but they have distinct.
Sure. But that's where Kyler Murray is going to make his decision. Like, if he gets back a first-round grade, because I guarantee you that the endorsement deals that would be knocking on his door, probably going to be more valuable if he plays football and if he's a first-round pick.
And if he gets the right marketing and branding, they could bill him as, like, the next Bo Jackson.
Sure.
It's like he can do baseball, too.
Which, by the way, there would be the potential that he could fall in New York to the Giants. When you start looking at actual NFL teams who need quarterbacks, who will be around, the middle of the first round. And obviously, if you can go be the quarterback of the New York Giants, that's a grand slam, if you will.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Very, very, very heavy-handed pun there. But if you just look at the teams who need quarterbacks in this draft where he would be coming out of, you go through the bottom list. Oakland, San Francisco, Arizona, they all got quarterbacks. The Jets got a quarterback. Maybe Jacksonville, which, isn't the market you want, but that's the team you'd want. You'd feel good about, hey, we got a good defense. Maybe they just go immediately and become good.
He'd be a real slam dunk there.
Doesn't work as well. Maybe he gets stuck in Detroit. Maybe they draft him as a stash to try to do what we were talking about yesterday, where you look around and you're trying to get rid of overpaid quarterbacks and win with young, cheap ones. So maybe you're like, hey, sorry, Matt Stafford, but we got your contingency plan here. But if not, the Giants are next. And obviously, like I said, that's a big deal, being in that market.
Yeah, that would
just
be
something
that
to
would
consider
be the
for Kyler Murray because, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's been a lot of talk about Kyler Murray not being out on the NFL. We'll look around the NFL next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. NFL weekend. We had a really good game last night. Chargers Chiefs. We talked about that in hour one. Check out the podcast. We get a Saturday edition of games. Texans head to the Jets. Texans still have to win two games to win the division. They lose in New York. That'd be pretty interesting, right? That'd be kind of cool if they lost in New York, right? 9-5 all of a sudden with a little pressure going on, going back to Philadelphia next week. That'd be kind of cool, right?
If who lost in New York?
If the Texans lost to the Jets, that'd be kind of cool. Let's keep that AFC South, let's keep it open.
Still thinking about that 2 seed.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. Just keeping my options open, man.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
Texans head to the Jets, 6.5-point favorites. That's Saturday at 4:30. I like the Saturday kickoffs. The nightcap is Browns at Broncos. The Browns are one of the more intriguing teams in the league. The Browns are high, like, on the watchability rankings if you started thinking about which NFL teams you actually liked watching. I think the Browns would be in the top 10 of a lot of people, especially with the way Baker Mayfield's been playing lately. There's an interesting rookie of the year race going on. I think you got to give it to Barkley. I think Saquon's the rookie of the year, but Baker is trying to keep pace and try to win off quarterback bias. Broncos are still alive in the playoffs. If they lose this game, they're pretty much dead. Browns still alive in the playoffs. If they lose this game, they are dead.
The Broncos are still alive?
Yeah, they finished 9-7. There's still a chance they get in. Hmm.
I thought they pretty much had to win out.
Well, they did. They did pretty much have to win out, but they're still technically alive.
Mm-hmm.
There's still hope for them.
I'd be pulling for the Browns. That's another reason I think the watchability is good with the Browns is because you had them on Hard Knocks this year.
That, and I think everyone just likes the Browns and feels bad and kind of wants them to be good. Like, no one really hates the Browns except people in that division, right?
Yeah, like Steelers fans and
yeah,
which they all smell like beer cheese anyway.
And even then, they might not even hate the Browns. They might feel bad for them.
Bengals fans.
Titans, Giants, we talked about that game. Giants don't have much to play for. They got slim hopes alive. They're at the point where every win actually hurts their future with the NFL draft. Eli, always one game away from being benched for the rest of the year. He's still kicking. Titans still have a lot to play for. A very likely scenario that plays out for them to make the playoffs. If they win out, still a chance to win the division. Still an outside shot to get the 2 seed, which would be wild if they came out with a first-round bye. I don't think that's going to happen by any means, but it's still a loss. So the Titans should have 10 out of 10 motivation.
So for that to happen, you need a – Titans win out, obviously. Houston loses to the Jets.
Houston loses twice. Patriots lose twice. Steelers, Ravens lose once. Dolphins lose once.
That's a lot. That's a lot of things to happen. Patriots got to lose twice. Yeah.
They play in Pittsburgh this weekend. I guess we could talk about that game next. I mean, that's the game of the day, right? Steelers versus Patriots.
4:25 on CBS.
That's the national window. CBS protected it, said, no way, you're making this the night game. We want this game. Steelers really hanging on for dear life in the playoff picture. With a trip to New Orleans next week, this is pretty much do or die for the Steelers. Right? Wouldn't you say it's pretty much do or die for them?
Yeah, it's got to be. They've lost 3 in a row, and they're at risk of losing the division and not even making the playoffs.
And with that tie instead of, you know, and with that tie instead of a win
hurts
in Cleveland week one, like they're just not going to be able to get enough wins.
Right. Yeah, this is the game of the year for the Steelers.
Who do you like in that game? Because you've been big on the Patriots. You just told us all morning the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Well,
you're not going to say the Patriots are going to lose 2 in a row because they lost a minute at Miami last week.
They never do. They never do. The thing is, though, if the Patriots lose, I mean, they're going to close out with Buffalo and the Jets. It's like the Patriots are going to get to 11 wins. I don't think there's any way they lose 2 games. They got both of them in Foxborough, too. This is their last real test. Hey, I'll take Brady. I'll take the Patriots. Just go ahead and shut Pittsburgh out of the playoffs.
So you've given up on Pittsburgh?
I think I have. When you lose to the Raiders, to me that's kind of a bad sign. And you're
that's putting it lightly. That is not a good sign.
Well, like they started the year slow, and then they came around and were like, okay, Pittsburgh's got it together. They look like one of the best teams in the league. And I mean, the last 3 losses: Denver, Oakland, and the Chargers. They're just not – they can't beat the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean, drop into Denver and Oakland at the end, you know, that those are bad losses. Obviously, I think the Chargers, that's an acceptable loss, but these other two, not good. Now they have to rebound. And like I said, they got the Patriots and a trip to New Orleans.
Well, they got to be
just
motivated.
Just 3 weeks ago, they were thinking, hey, we can get the 1 seed. And then they lost, and they're like, okay, yeah, but we're still going to be the inside track for the 2 seed. And now it's like, oh, dear God, can we win the division? Can we? Because we're not getting the wild card, I don't think.
Yeah, to me, that Raiders loss is one of those losses that's like, it just spoils your whole season. Like, that came at a time for them that just, I feel like it could really ruin Pittsburgh, and they're just not really ready to play Sunday. And they got to be looking ahead like, yeah, then we got to go play the Saints. I'll take New England. I think New England's in better shape. Plus, New England's coming off of a loss, which is never when you want to play them.
Patriots are 2.5-point favorites right now.
And Brady owns the Steelers.
Patriots are 3-4 away this year, though. They have not been good away. They're 6-0 at home and 3-4 on the road.
3 road wins.
Is there anything to that? Like, hey, we kind of need to show that we can play on the road, because if the Patriots lose this game – maybe at 11-5. I guess at 11, That's the thing is at 11-5, they still should probably get the two seed. So maybe they're not even going to have to go on the road.
The road wins were Buffalo, the Jets, and Chicago. They beat Chicago on the road, but.
Oh, my God. Patriots just aren't good on the road. But they're tested. They'll probably feel confident. But like I said, the one year where they're actually human, they are still going to get the two seed somehow because everybody else sucks. So it's still going to end up with most teams having to go through New England. And New England, it is funny because they're going to be the two seed, but the one seed, the Chiefs or the Chargers, are going to have a much tougher second-round game than they will, assuming things break right and assuming the sixth seed doesn't pull an upset in round one. Assuming that the Titans or the Colts or the Dolphins or whoever gets in as a sixth seed and loses to the three seed, that would mean that either the Chiefs or the Chargers has to go to the other people's house and play Chiefs and Chargers, and two of the best AFC teams, if not the two best AFC teams, will knock one or the other out. And if the lower seed wins, then the Patriots have the AFC championship at home.
As New England gets to cruise against the three seed.
Right, gets to cruise against like a Baltimore mm-hmm. with Lamar Jackson or a Houston. Mm-hmm. So it is breaking well for them. A lot of these games on Sunday, there's implications. Let's go through them. We spent a lot of time on Pittsburgh-New England, but I do think it's an important game. Cardinals-Falcons, nothing to talk about here. Lions-Bills, nothing to talk about here. Barely even any fantasy implications in the Lions-Bills. Packers-Bears, Packers are hanging to whatever little playoff life they have. They're 0-6 on the road this year. Packers are 0-6.
Wow.
0-6 with Aaron Rodgers. Does feel like a game where maybe the Packers come out and spoil the Bears, who are on a short-ish week after playing on Sunday night, feeling good about themselves after beating the Rams. This is in the past where Aaron Rodgers would come and break their heart, although we'll see if the Bears are for real. The Bears still trying to clinch that division, although they have a really good lead to do so.
That is an intriguing game.
Bears still trying to get the three seed, outside shot of the two seed, although that doesn't seem likely. Raiders-Bengals, nothing to talk about there. Cowboys-Colts, Cowboys can clinch the division with the win, I believe. And the Colts are still trying to hang on for their playoff lives. Indianapolis, 3-point favorites in Indy. Does this game matter in how you view Dallas headed to Indianapolis against a pretty good Colts team?
I don't think so. I think Dallas can afford a loss here.
If they lose, though, I feel like if they lose, A, they fall out of my top five, obviously, and B, I'll feel less, I don't want to say confident, but I'll think of them as a non-Super Bowl team in the playoffs. I think now they have an outside shot at the Super Bowl, and it wouldn't surprise me. I'd be if they can't beat the Colts, I think it goes back to where I don't think Dallas is on that same level as those other NFC teams. But right now, I feel like Dallas is on that level.
I think Dallas – it would surprise me to see them get to the Super Bowl.
Like, I think if the Seahawks went to Indianapolis right now, they'd win. I think if the Rams and Saints went to Indianapolis, they win. I think if the Bears with Mitch Trubisky went to Indianapolis, they win. Cowboys have the opportunity to show that they can win there, and that they would win there, and that they will win there.
I don't think I view Dallas any differently with a loss. I think this one's going to mean more for Indianapolis.
I'd view them differently with a loss because I think, like I said, all those other NFC teams, I think, would go to Indianapolis and win right now.
Well, I don't really view them as a Super Bowl contender, so I'm just kind of viewing them as early playoff exit.
Dolphins, Vikings, must-win game for the Vikings, must-win game for the Dolphins. This is a game with a lot at stake, although I don't think anybody wants to watch it.
Remember when I had the Dolphins in the MySpace top eight earlier in the year?
They're hanging around.
They're still hanging around.
They're hanging around. This is a must-win for them, though. Is there a letdown after whatever the hell they're calling that play, the miracle in Miami, which seems kind of generic, but the Dolphins' playoff hopes still alive?
I think the Miami miracle sounds better.
Okay. Vikings fire their offensive coordinator, need to win out to get in the playoffs, and they're at home, 7.5-point favorites. I'd be really, really disappointed in Minnesota if they don't win this game. Redskins-Jaguars, Redskins clinging to life, but they're done. They have no quarterback. They're done. Bucks at Ravens. Ravens sticking with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson wins this game. they have a chance to be in first place at the end of the day with the Steelers and Patriots playing. Ravens can win out and at least get into the playoffs as a wild card. Mm-hmm. Big game for the Ravens as they head to Los Angeles to play the Chargers next week. Must win game for them. Seahawks, 49ers. Seahawks, only 3.5-point favorites, which seems wild to me. Is that the dumbest line of the day? Like, or is it a trap game? Because Seattle feels good about themselves playing on a short week, but like, seems like Seattle should take care of this 49ers team pretty easily.
I would think so. I mean, the 49ers right now are 3-10, and when you look at their last few games, Seattle blew them out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you would think San Francisco is more concerned about who they're drafting at this point rather than playing good, and Seattle has a lot ahead of them in terms of trying to lock up a playoff spot and keep their momentum rolling for the season. That line seems surprising to me. I like the Seahawks in that game. I'd be shocked if they lost that game. Even as only 3.5-point favorites, I'd be shocked. Patriots-Steelers, we talked about that. The Sunday night game, Eagles and Nick Foles heading to Los Angeles, I think that's going to be a beatdown. I think the Rams make a statement on Sunday night. 12.5-point favorites, I think they make a statement. Get their offense rolling against the Eagles secondary, who cannot cover anybody right now. Big games for Brandon Cooks. Big games for Robert Woods. Gurley's going to get his touches again. I think the Rams roll that game. If the Rams do not win handedly, I'd be worried about the Rams. I think it's a good night for the Eagles. Last call on the other side. We'll break down a little bit of Tennessee-Memphis, too, on the way out. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call here on the program. I want to thank the McKinney team for their support. The McKinney team with Keller Williams understands that buying or selling a home is a life-changing experience. That's why they have a team of highly seasoned real estate professionals. ZillowKnoxville.com for more information. Cody, pump the brakes or keep rolling. Before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about Tennessee and Memphis.
Chris Paul's going to the game, maybe.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw Penny Hardaway with his stolen valor. Penny Hardaway acting like Chris Paul wants to go watch Memphis play. Chris Paul, Grant Williams was on Chris Paul's AAU team in high school. Last year when Grant Williams won SEC Player of the Year, Chris Paul showed him love. Tweeted out, congrats to Grant Williams. Like, he likes Grant Williams, Penny Hardaway. He doesn't like you. He wants to go watch Grant Williams and the boys play. Out here acting like, oh yeah, man, we had Chris Paul asking for tickets. That's how crazy Memphis is right now. He didn't want to watch you. He wanted to watch Grant Williams beat you. That's what he wanted to see. That's what he wanted to see.
Are we sure that's the reason?
I'm assuming that's the reason. Maybe. I mean, Grant Williams played on Chris Paul's AAU team as a senior in high school.
Maybe he's friends with Penny Hardaway.
Well, maybe. He might be. Yeah. But I know he likes Grant Williams. I've seen the documented proof. Memphis is a team that's going to press Tennessee. Memphis is a team that's going to press Tennessee. How Tennessee handles that press, especially Lamonte's not playing, right? We haven't seen anything from Lamonte that where he's playing, right? He's out. So I do wonder how Tennessee is going to handle some pressure when they only have one point guard on the court now with, you know, Jordan Bone.
I thought that Lamonte was practicing this week.
I mean, he might be practicing, but I don't think he's playing. I think they're holding him out until SEC play, right?
It's up to him, but like he's not playing in the game. Like they said, like it's Lamonte's choice, but he's not playing Memphis.
Are you breaking news here, Binley?
No, they said that on the morning show.
Oh, okay. So you're not breaking news. Never mind.
I'm not breaking news.
All right. It's okay.
I'll have my connection someday.
All right, cut your mic off. But how Tennessee handles that with no point guard on the second unit? And, you know, really only Jordan Bone as a point guard. A test against the press will be good to see Tennessee and how they respond to it. As, you know, of course, you want to see how you handle certain styles. They played a big team like Gonzaga, a big team like Kansas. They'll get just the three-point shooters against Auburn. How do they handle pressure against good athletes like Memphis has? You know, it gets you ready for tournament time. Now, obviously, we think Grant can handle the, or, you know, Admiral can handle the ball. Grant can a little bit, but I don't want him trying to beat the press, so to say. Bowden, a little bit of a ball handler. Maybe if Memphis is pressing Tennessee, that'll lead to some big Ponds dunks. Memphis isn't a great team, but it's a road test. Good for Tennessee to get. And I messed up today. Just on my job.
Why?
Should have done the McKinney team read earlier because now we have a sponsor for Last Call, Volunteer Vodka. If you're looking to drink this weekend, pick up a bottle of Volunteer Vodka, only $20. If your liquor store doesn't have it, tell them you want it. And I need to squeeze in that we're watching the game tomorrow at Hops and Hollers. This has been a disaster. This 3 hours have really snuck up on us.
And it's what? Friday, so Cody has to take a poll.
Yeah, that's true. What you got to do this weekend, drink a whole bunch of Volunteer Vodka, come watch the game with us at Hops, and drink good beer there, then go buy a house from the McKinney team after you drink a lot.
Okay. All right. You can switch the order if you want and, like, buy the house, then celebrate, but maybe you'll make a better decision if you're drunk.
Travis, I'd like the big one.
Bad job by me spacing those out.
Well, yeah, they know we love them.
They know we love them. The audience knows we love them. We love the audience and the sponsors. Bad job by me. All right, hurry up. A couple pump the brake stories. That's on me. My planning today was not good.
Okay.
I don't know why I wanted to talk about Kyler Murray and Alabama and Loxley. Not Loxley, but Durkin for a whole segment. That's on me.
Southwest flight. Stop.
Go ahead and stop. I'll listen to it. What do you got?
A Southwest flight was stopped after a human heart was left on board.
Excuse me?
The Southwest flight was forced to turn around because a human heart meant for donation was accidentally left on board, the airline said. The heart had arrived Sunday at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, where it was due to be unloaded, but it wasn't until after the pilot took off for Dallas that the airline realized a life-critical cargo shipment was still on the aircraft. Southwest made the decision to return to Seattle to ensure the shipment was delivered to its destination within the window of time allotted by the cargo customer.
Well, God, I would hope so, Southwest.
As opposed to just, the hell with it.
You know, this guy needing a heart transplant has worked really hard, and we messed up, but, you know, we got to keep this schedule.
Yeah, we don't want to inconvenience these people on their flight.
All these people, like, who at the next airport had their flight delayed by a long time, like, you can be, they're probably really mad, and then when they read this story, it's like, wait, that's why? Okay, well, maybe we shouldn't have been cussing Southwest. I don't know.
Or the people are just bad people, and they're like,
that says sounds like a you problem, buddy.
I was supposed to be in Chicago at 4 o'clock, and you're telling me I'm not going to be there till 7 because this guy needs a heart.
Sounds like a you problem, buddy.
The heart was unharmed and reached its destination on time.
Southwest gets a lot of good publicity. You have to turn around and take the heart back. Good for them.
I think that's the right move here.
I hate that they probably did it because, hey, we can get some really good publicity from this.
They probably did.
Joakim Noah explains why he wasn't good in New York City. Says he was too lit. It's too lit playing in New York City. Says Memphis is a good mixture. He'll be fine. He can have fun, but focus. Said it wasn't just the pressure of New York. He said, I remember after the first game in New York City, I probably had like 50 people in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too lit. I'm too lit to play in New York City. Memphis is perfect for me. They said, well, what about Chicago? He said, well, we were lit in Chicago, but I was young, so I could recover faster, you know? In New York, I was a little bit older. It's tough to be lit and still be a good professional athlete. Once you get that guaranteed money in the NBA, man, you can get lit. You ain't got to worry about getting cut. He got waived, and he still got all of his $37.8 million. He's been playing pretty good so far for the Grizzlies, giving them some type of backup big man for Marc Gasol. See how long it lasts. And if the Memphis party scene messes him up. Good job by you, Ben Lee. Cody, glad you got some breakfast. You were really good after the breakfast. I messed up. I'm not going to call myself phenomenal today. I was just a B+. Just a B+.